Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Tomas at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today, Kimberly Dvorak, Senior Foreign Policy Advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy, and in the second hour, Selwyn Duke with The New American. Well, in the news, President Biden is set to meet with President of Mexico, Obrador, this afternoon amid the migrant crisis as the new administration has taken steps to roll back Trump-era immigration policies. By the way, we'll be discussing this with Kimberly a little bit later on. The meeting, which is expected to take place virtually today, is set to focus on how the United States and Mexico can cooperate on economic and national security issues, as well as combating the coronavirus pandemic. López Obrador is reportedly expected to propose a new Barquero-style immigrant labor program to Biden, which could bring 600,000 to 800,000 Mexican and Central American immigrants a year to work legally in the United States. Senior Biden administration official declined to say whether Biden would support or oppose that proposal, but told the AP that both the U.S. and Mexico agree on the need to expand legal pathway for migration. Now, the original Barquero program allowed Mexicans to work temporarily in the United States to fill labor shortages during World War II and for a couple of decades after the war. López Obrador said the U.S. economy needs Mexican workers because of their strength and their youth. The Biden administration official told the AP that the meeting would enable Biden to begin to institutionalize the relationship with Mexico in a swipe at former President Trump, whose administration relationship with Mexico involved the threats of tariff, a crackdown on migration, and its efforts to construct a border wall across the southern border. Of course, my opinion here, what the Associated Press did not decide to put in there was the great deal that Trump made with Mexico, the United States, and Canada, which was beneficial for everyone. But apparently AP likes to get on the other side of the band. Well, the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, wrapped up yesterday following an anticipated speech from former President Trump. There were a few moments from this year's CPAC, according to Fox News. Let's see. Trump ribs into Biden during the CPAC speech. Trump spoke yesterday, marking his first major speech since leaving office. He spoke to a pro-Trump crowd at an event where his influence was felt throughout. Trump tore into President Biden on issues ranging from brewing crisis at the border to foreign policy, as well as reopening of schools during the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, "Joe Biden has had the most disastrous first month of any president in modern history," Trump said, calling the new administration anti-jobs, anti-families, anti-border, anti-energy, anti-women, and anti-science. He focused predominantly on the escalating border crisis, which he returned to frequently as he ripped into Biden's rollbacks of the number of Trump-era policies, which has in turn seen a surge in migrants at the border. Quote, "It took the new administration only a few weeks to turn this unprecedented accomplishment into a self-inflicted humanitarian and national security disaster," he said. "In one short month, we've gone from America first to America last." And Trump declares he would not start a new political party. He declared, after speculation last month, that he might. "We're not starting new parties, you know. They keep saying he's going to start a brand new party," Trump said. "We have the Republican Party. It's going to unite and be stronger than ever before." The speculation that Trump was considering starting a new party began in the aftermath of the January 6th attack on the Capitol by pro-Trump mobs, that is. Yesterday, he declared that he's committed to the GOP. "Not starting a new party. That was fake news, fake news. No, it wouldn't be brilliant. Let's start a new party and let's divide our vote so that you can never win? No, we're not interested in that." Trump's speech was preceded by the CPAC straw poll, which polled attendees about who they would like to see on the ballot. And attendees comfortably chose Trump for a 2024 run, while voting for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in a separate poll if Trump did not throw his hat in the ring. Quote, "For the next 4 years, the brave Republicans in this room will be at the heart of the effort to oppose the radical Democrats, the fake news media, and their toxic cancer culture," Trump continued. "And I want you to know that I'm going to continue fighting by right there by your side." Now, Representative Gaetz criticized Representative Liz Cheney, the most prominent GOP member of the House, to vote to impeach Trump during the first day at CPAC. Quote, "Speaking of people who should lose primaries, if Liz Cheney were on this stage today, she'd get booed off. The leadership of our party was not found in Washington, D.C., Gaetz told the crowd. He also pointed to the media's glowing treatment of Governor Andrew Cuomo through much of the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, "Now the fake news media and their allies in Silicon Valley made Governor Cuomo out to be some iconic cross between King David and Tom Brady. What a big lie that turned out to be," Gaetz remarked. And he added that former aides to the three-term governor claimed he suggested other staffers engaged in strip poker, referring to a recent sexual harassment allegation against the government, which Cuomo denies. "Meanwhile, they were stripping Granny out of the COVID ward at the hospital and tossing her into a nursing home in just enough time to infect everybody and then go back to the hospital so those deaths could be recategorized for politics." Well, Ted Cruz, he talked about, part of his Cancun trip. He gave a passionate speech during the CPAC, and that speech was on Friday, vowing that Trump-style populist Republicans are here to stay. Quote, "The Republican Party is not the party just of the country clubs. The Republican Party is the party of steel workers, construction workers, pipeline workers, and taxi cab drivers, and cops and firefighters, and waiters and waitresses, and the men and women with calluses on their hands who are working for this country. This is our party, and these deplorables are here to stay," Cruz said. All right. Well, when President Joe Biden picked to head the Department of Justice, Merrick Garland said that he would be the lawyer for the people of the United States. Presumably, he was referring only to those people who do not favor borders or the Second Amendment. During the 2 days of Garland's confirmation hearing so far, senators posed questions that may well have conservatives running for the hills. Responding to Senator Mike Lee, Republican Utah's question, on whether the banning of certain types of guns would be possible under Garland's watch, the nominee was open in response, and he said, quote, "As I'm sure you know, the president is a strong supporter of gun control, has been an advocate all his life, professional life, on this question. The role of the Justice Department is to advance the policy program of the administration as long as it's consistent with the law." Well, I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, you're messing around with the Second Amendment. Yes, right? Advance Biden's program as long as it's consistent with the law. So there goes your Second Amendment, right? Right. Well, expanding on how gun control might be consistent with the law, he reflected that, quote, "So far we have a little indication from the Supreme Court as to what this means, but we don't have a complete indication. And where there is room under the law for the president's policies to be pursued, then I think the president is entitled to pursue them." Wow. There's a group known as Guerrilla Moms. They're calling Berkeley Federation Teachers President Matt Meyer a hypocrite after spotting him dropping his 2-year-old daughter off for in-person instruction at a private preschool. Quote, "Meet Matt Meyer, white man with dreads and president of the local teachers union." That's what the group wrote on Saturday in a tweet. And they had the video footage of Meyer. Quote, "He's been saying it's unsafe for your kids to be back at school, and all the while he's dropping his kids off at private school. This is the Teachers President, Federation Teachers President. And Meyer told Fox News in a statement that the video, which blurred out his child's face, was very inappropriate and an intrusion of his child's privacy. Special election in the effort to recall California Governor Gavin Newsom, they say, will likely be held this fall, okay? This is from the movement's leader, Randy Economy, and he joined Mornings with Maria to explain how once the required signatures are counted for Newsom's recall, special election will be triggered under the California Constitution and held in October or November of this year. The process has begun. We're going to continue to work as hard as we can, make sure that Newsom is held accountable, and to make sure our rights as an electorate are granted because they've done the heavy lifting to make sure that this special election is going to go ahead and move forward. Now, Economy did not endorse a particular candidate to run against Newsom, saying that his organization is not responsible for picking the next governor, but for holding the current one accountable for his draconian lockdown policies and the stifling of small businesses. Well, Daniel Horowitz filed a story interesting last week. The Oklahoma House overwhelmingly passed a bill, which was HB 1236, that would grant the state attorneys general and state legislature the authority to review, are you ready for this, the president's executive orders to determine constitutionality. Specifically, the bill would authorize the legislature to recommend that the attorney general review any executive order, federal agency rule, or federal congressional action to determine whether the state should seek an exempt or declare it unconstitutional. If either the attorney general or the legislature, by concurrent resolution, declares the act unconstitutional, then all state and local officials and any public-funded organization are prohibited from enforcing it. The federal actions covered under the bill include any orders pertaining to health emergencies, the regulation of natural resources, agriculture, land use, infringements upon the Second Amendment, the regulation of the financial sector as it relates to environmental, social, or governance standards, the regulation of education, the regulation of college or school sports, or any other powers reserved by the state of Oklahoma or the people of Oklahoma. And the bill is probably the single most direct and effective way of countering federal power grabs. As written, it would potentially pave the way for the legislature to block Biden's mask mandate, transgender agenda in school sports, and racially based orders in finance and commerce, just to name a few. And Oklahoma's House is now the second chamber to pass a state sovereignty bill against federal overreach. North Dakota also passed a similar bill, HB 1282. However, that bill passed by a narrow margin, 51-43, and there were actually nearly 30 Republicans voting against it. The Oklahoma bill, on the other hand, it passed 79-18. Way to go, Sooners. You've done it right again. All right. More news in just a moment. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute. There's a remarkable new autobiographical film by the rising director-writer Lee Isaac Chung that tells the story of a Korean family in the 1980s that tries to plant and sustain a vegetable farm in rural Arkansas. It's called Minari, now available on various streaming services.
What a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. If you're here with us for the first time, please stand. What a beautiful family. Glad you're here.
Yes, they're welcomed in the local church and by their deeply religious all-American neighbors, including a fervent believer particularly well played by Will Patton. The film is powered by some of the most remarkable performances you'll see this year. Rated PG-13 for intense scenes of family stress, danger, and illness. 4 stars for the gorgeous Minari, whose title refers to an old country vegetable that grows beautifully in rural Arkansas.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
When you really want Italian food, you've got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. And due to Columbo's multitude of clamoring clientele demanding the immediate reopening of their mecca of gustatorial magnificence, Columbo's heeds the call to feed the famished on their picturesque patio. Columbo's has triumphantly reopened. Savor their mouth-watering, delectable steaks, the freshest fish offerings, Columbo's family Italian dishes, the world's greatest meatballs, all at a price that'll have you ooh and ah with delight. Yowza. Yes, it's time once again to tingle your taste buds and treasure the Columbo's experience. Columbo's has reopened, and still, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mangia bene.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Chuck Wilder here, and telling you about, you know, what Oklahoma did, giving them praise. So sometimes maybe things aren't 100% what they should be doing. Tahlequah, Oklahoma. I'm sure I got that pronunciation right, right? Yes. It's time for Jeep to stop using the Cherokee Nation's name on its Cherokee and Grand Cherokee SUVs. This from the chief of the Oklahoma-based tribe, Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. See, I got his name right. Chuck Hoskin Jr. said in a statement first reported by Car and Driver magazine that he believes corporations and sports teams should stop using Native American names, images, and mascots as nicknames or on their products. Quote, I'm sure this comes from a place that's well-intended, but it does not honor us by having our name plastered on the side of a car, Hoskin said. Christian Starn, spokeswoman for Jeep's parent company, Amsterdam-based Solentis, said in a statement that the vehicle name was carefully selected and nurtured over the years to honor and celebrate Native American people for their nobility, prowess, and pride. She didn't say whether the company was considering renaming the vehicles and didn't immediately reply to an email either that was sent to her saying, hey, give me some more information. Hoskin says the best way to honor the Tahlequah, Oklahoma-based tribe is to learn more about its history. Quote, the best way to honor us is to learn about our sovereign government, our role in this country, our history, culture, and language, and have a meaningful dialogue with federally recognized tribes on cultural appropriateness, Hoskin said. The controversy comes amid a national reckoning, you know, over the use of Native American names images, particularly in sports. You know, after years of resistance and under pressure from corporate sponsors, the NFL's Washington, D.C. franchise announced last year that it would be dropping its Redskins nickname and the Indian Head logo and would go by the name Washington Football Team until a permanent replacement was chosen. And if you're a football fan, you will notice that changing the name of your team doesn't mean you have a worse record, because they actually did better than they had been. So, I don't know. Anyway, Major League Baseball, you know, the Cleveland Indians also announced last year that they're going to change their name. I don't know. The Food and Drug Administration staff has endorsed Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine. Staff reported over the last week it meant to brief the FDA Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee, and they're reviewing J&J's request for emergency use of the authorization. Trump mentioned that in his speech yesterday. Maricopa County, you know, are turning over their ballots from the November general election to the Arizona Senate, going to provide the Senate access to its voting machine so that it can conduct an audit. That was a judge's ruling. Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Timothy Thompson said the subpoenas issued by the Arizona State are valid, said he disagreed with the county's arguments that they were unlawful and that the county legally could not hand over the ballots. In response, Maricopa County Board of Supervisors Chairman Jack Sellers said in a statement last week, Friday, that the county, quote, will immediately start working to provide the Arizona Senate with ballots and other materials. And you know, they just don't give up on Trump, do they? Nope. By the way, a whole bunch of headlines going out all over today about the fact that Trump had requested to Nancy Pelosi, why don't you send about 10,000, you know, troops, National Guard troops there to the Capitol building, you know, just in case, you know, some people try to do something because of my speech or whatever, and she turned him down. But you're not going to hear too much about that. How about this one? Two key House Democrats rolled out legislation that would revoke a lifetime pension and other taxpayer-funded perks from former presidents who might get convicted of felonies during or after office. Could they be talking about his income tax? Senator Patrick Maloney, full of baloney Democrat in New York, who leads the Democrats' campaign arm, and Progressive Caucus Chairman Jeff Hall, Democrat Washington, they authored the Restoring and Enforcing Accountability of Presidents. It's called the REAP Act. Isn't that amazing? REAP Act. Enforcing accountabilities of presidents. You guys better be real, real careful, you know. And they also said, well, it's very seldom, you know, that a former president sticks his nose in the business of anybody, like CPAC yesterday. Blame others for what you do, Chuck Wilder constantly says. And when you think about former presidents sticking their nose in, think about Mr. Obama. That's one that didn't want to go away. And I admit, you know, Trump was first, but what can I say? Kimberly Dvorak, coming up next.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Restaurante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic. Market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails, like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Restaurante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Nonpayment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here. And let me give you a program note. Tomorrow, Frank Vernuccio, Editor-in-Chief, New York Analysis of Policy and Government. His latest, What Really Happened in Wahoong. And then Kelly Nelson, our world-famous researcher, she's going to be here with her latest. And I got to check and see, Tomas, do I have a guest or not? I'm sorry? I do. Okay. And I assume it will be Kimberly Dvorak, okay? Award-winning national security, border security investigative reporter for TV, radio, and print media. She is the senior foreign policy advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy, TV correspondent for CW6 News San Diego, as well as One American News Network. Her website is The KD Report. And she is streaming live right now on Facebook. Kimberly, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself, Chuck?
Pretty good. Hey, you got back in time. Were you at the CPAC?
No. I went back to go see what I could do to fix California. I don't know. You guys got all hosed up back there.
Well, I heard the leak, and it's dripping just a tiny bit since you left, okay? So you did fix it. Hey, I'll tell you what. It's interesting, you know, we're going to talk about migrants, all right? And we'll start out, well, first off, I'm going to inform you again here that the fact that, let me find the thing here, yes. President Biden, you like that? President Biden is set to meet with the Mexican President Obrador this afternoon as we speak. amid the migrant crisis and all kinds of good things. I'm looking at they want to start up the Barquero program. Kimberly can talk about that. 600,000, 800,000 Mexican, Central American immigrants used to come in here and work, but that was during, that was picking the crops, and then they'd go home, and then they'd come back, and then they'd go home. But you have a report about Sweden. Which one do you want to get into also?
Yeah, let's talk about what's going on in Sweden. I think that, you know, when we're looking at migrant or illegal immigration and things of those sorts, you know, the United States usually has been on the forefront. I mean, we're obviously the largest humanitarian country on the planet. We tend to help people. You know, if there's a tsunami coming through town, who do they call first? America. And we follow through and we help them out. I think that, ironically now, we're seeing other countries in Europe and elsewhere that are looking at the migrant and illegal immigration problem and how that is affecting their bottom line, A, and how their citizens are paying taxes for people that don't necessarily even want to be in their country. They're just looking for that, you know, coveted, you know, subsidized housing, free health care, you know, the rest of things the rest of us all have to pay for. So in Sweden, they were one of the countries that took the largest number of migrants per capita. And they've taken so far like 1.2 or 1.3 million people into their country. And what they found is they have since commissioned a report to look into see, you know, if they're benefiting as a country. And some of the statistics that came out are very shocking. So
yes.
In Sweden specifically, people who are raping other Swedes, you know, are these migrants at higher levels. And not just like higher levels, but we're talking significantly higher levels. Like
let me give the listener, you have a total of 3,039 convicted rapist, all right? And that was a study that was finished February 22nd. It was 59.3% of the convicts came from migrant backgrounds. Let me ask you a sexist question, okay? Are Swedish women more attractive than anywhere else? I mean, that seems very high, doesn't it? Are they naive, or what's the story?
What I would think is that most Europeans are very opening, and it's a much more diverse population in Europe than a lot of places in the United States. They want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. However, it's the, you know, the Swedish women who are bearing the brunt of these rapes and a government that's not there necessarily looking after them. They also found in that same study that migrants are taking food stamps, free health care, you know, housing subsidies at much larger numbers. They're coming in the country with zero educational skills. So now they're going to be a ward of the state indefinitely. And this just isn't first-generation migrants that have come into these countries. We're talking first- and second-generation migrants that are doing the exact same thing. Now, in Europe, they tend to be getting a lot more of you know, people from, you know, Muslim background, and people in Sweden, women, you know, they tend to wear shorts when it's warm in summer.
Right.
And for a lot of these people, that's a sin against Allah. So they feel it's not only their right, but their duty to teach these lessons to these Western women, which begs the question, well, if they are so much disagreement with the country they've moved to, why did they move to that country in the first place?
Yeah. You know, the other interesting thing in this report is that the Swedish newspaper Expressing, they probably pronounce it a little bit differently, probably like the Pink Panther, you know, Expressing reported that almost every man convicted of gang rape. Now, see, there's a new word added into the equation, gang rape. You know, you hear that from like MS-13 and things like that. Is that also attributed to Muslims?
Yeah, they're actually doing the same thing. I mean, we've on this show, we've talked about this for a number of years now. And up until now, we didn't really have any kind of studies that were looking at these specific issues. Now we do have studies, and it's confirming, you know, what we were talking about years ago on this front. You've got clashing civilizations, and Christianity is far different than the Muslim religion as it sits right now. And when you look at, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it could be journalists, let's say, that went to Egypt to cover the Arab Spring and found themselves in the middle of a gang rape. And then we're told by their mainstream media, you know, networks that you're not allowed to talk about that horrific thing that happened to you because we want the Arab Spring to come out and it's a great thing and they're rejoining the world and kumbaya and all of this. But there are many, many, many down, you know, valid issues that are affecting women in particular because men in those religions are able to married multiple wives. Well, in this country, in most countries around the world, westernized countries, that's not something that is of the mainstream thought process. So what they're doing is they're taking what they think is theirs, and they're not taking into consideration. And I also want to stipulate, this is definitely not all people immigrating from Africa and the Middle East and other nations that have these, that practice these types of religions. But that's not what we're saying here. We're just saying that it is a large number of them, and Western cities and countries around the world are standing up and taking notice.
You know what, except I don't think the United States is standing up and taking notice, because we admit over, I think it's almost close now to 2 million people every year legally through our immigration system, okay? Sweden just started, and in this report, you say it's Sweden issued 1.2 million residency permits to new migrants in 10 years, all right?
Yeah.
In 10 years, and look at what they're doing already, the problems they're having. You know, and it's...
And they're a small country, so let's give them that they're a small country, but as of today, one-fifth of that country, 20% are now foreign-born. They aren't even born in that country. So one-fifth of their population are foreign nationals. They aren't people that were born and raised. And what we're seeing, and I think that what the researchers and scientists were looking at when they're looking at these issues, usually when people immigrate to a country, the first generation struggles a bit. They work really crappy jobs or you know, they struggle to pay the bills and all that. But they work really hard because they want their kids to have that better life. And in Sweden in particular, they're not getting that down the line. And to a fair extent, in this country as well, we used to have people who immigrated here, and they worked really hard, and they would scoff at taking any kind of public assistance whatsoever. And you're now in this country, you've got more second-generation people who are not going to do better than their parents, and it's because they're taking all of this public assistance.
Well, and in this country, Kimberly, it seems as though certain parts of our government, you know, they want you to take that assistance. And I have a good friend that calls it, you know, keeping you on the plantation. You're dependent upon them to take care of you, you know, and all of a sudden it becomes probably easier. You know, maybe I could have a better job, but look, hey, I don't have to do anything. Look what I can get. And I was pointing out last week on this program that remember when Obamacare came along, Kimberly, and you had to pay for Obamacare if you were an American, and now Biden is giving free insurance to anybody that comes into the country?
Yeah.
And it was
and especially, let's not forget about the COVID infection, too, because a lot of the doctors you're going to, they're charging you if you have insurance. They're charging you for the pleasure of getting the vaccine. You're in this country illegally. You go straight to the front of the line. They're not even worried about that, which makes you kind of wonder that, you know, we're seeing this huge influx of migrants now crossing into the United States, being picked up by Border Patrol, back to catch and release. Here's your date. Come back in 10 years. Mm-hmm. Never, whatever. We're not going to check up on you. And, you know, here are the list of doctors where you can go visit and see if you can get your vaccine and make sure that you're, you know, medically fit. You know, and I'd like to, you know, find out how many single moms out there would really like to be a part of that program before we're actually offering it to people that, you know, are coming into this country, not by doing it correctly and waiting in line how the majority of people that come to this country legally and lawfully, they wait their turn in line. They're allowing these people to skip the line and go straight for, here, we're gonna give you all the free things you need, whether it be food, college education. With Falcon now, they're going to be offering that, and you've also got K-12, you know, education. And, you know, it's a tired argument that I hear when I engage in these types of arguments with liberals out there. Well, you know, they're paying taxes, and they're A, B, and C. And I'm like, okay, well, so you're telling me they've got three kids, roughly, and this is lowball figure, $10,000 a year per kid. So you're telling me that they're paying more than $30,000 in taxes per year just for education. Forget about the health care, forget about the housing and all of the other issues. But you want me to believe that they are self-sustaining people coming to this country. These migrants and refugees and political asylum seekers are the hardest people that this country can do to bring into this country because they tend to be lifers. They tend to be you know, living on this the rest of their life. They're very expensive to take care of.
And why would they want to go back to where they came from? Yeah. But here's the thing, too, and Trump mentioned this at CPAC. He said he was talking about the Keystone Pipeline. And he says, you see these figures, 17,000 jobs lost. He said it's closer to 21,000 and more. And so now, as we speak today in this program, here, Biden's getting ready to meet with Obrador, Mexico, and start up the Bracero program again. And it'll, now think about this, 21,000 lost their job on the Keystone, right? And as of last week, the unemployment was about 17 million, I think. So then here we got 800,000 coming in on the Bracero program. So true, that's not a million. But it's 800,000. So what's the unemployment going to be now?
But you're also to expect then that all of these 800,000 that are coming in are going to leave. That's a very big exception because a lot of them won't leave, so they will stay here. And the reason why Mexico and the Mexican president and their government down there, they want to reopen these types of programs because they're seeing the fact that when President Trump said, okay, you're coming to this country, you've got to stay in Mexico while we process your papers before you can come to this country. They're seeing firsthand in Mexico that now this has become a pretty expensive problem, something that Mexico can't even afford any longer. So what can we do to push more of them north? That's what you're seeing. Nobody wants to actually talk about the issue that's at hand here. And that it's certainly sad that, you know, there are a lot of poor people around the world.
Right.
Unfortunately, America cannot help any of them. And I'm actually in favor of helping our neighbors. And if by that it means bringing our troops home and getting out of the Middle East and letting Russia and Europe to deal with what's going on in the Middle East and save trillions, well, let's take that money. We can cut it in half, save the taxpayers 50%, and let's start working on making Mexico a lot more like Canada.
And I'll tell you what, when the Bracero program was going on, it was during World War II. And guess what? Very patriotic. And you know what that meant? We had a lot of people that were out of work. All right? We didn't have enough people to do it. That's why the women started working in all the factories. But they would work, and they would pick the grapes and whatever and go back and then come back, you know. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Wrap things up with the one and only Kimberly Dvorak, streaming live at Facebook. Oh, they're being nice to us right now, Kimberly. I notice, yes. All right. It is her website, thekdreport.com, thekdreport.com. Be right back.
Thank you.
you order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Kimberly Dvorak, Senior Foreign Policy Advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy, and our website, thekdreport.com. Well, you think about the Vaquero program and the way the immigration is going right now and everything, and I think it all boils down, Kimberly, to H.R. 1. Get as many votes as you can. Get rid of no voter ID ever. Wow. Have you looked at H.R. 1?
Yeah. We talked about this a little earlier, few weeks ago. It actually, I think, got bumped off of YouTube because they didn't want us talking about what's really in the bill. Yeah, Democrats, I mean, you can look at this, you know, with all of the DACA students that are kids that are in college that are or DACA, that they're going to be able to have a very quick way past the citizenship, which means they're going to be able to vote. The president, President Trump, yesterday spoke at CPAC, saying that the only goal through that wasn't just to have the people that are in the country currently, put on a pathway to citizenship and allowing them to jump the line again before people who actually paid the fees, paid to get the medical exams, paid for the backgrounds and all of those things, but the ultimate goal is bring their entire families over, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, you name it, they want them here. And to do that, that would mean that would almost ensure that there would be a permanent Democrat voting base. So, I mean, it's very, it's fairly, transparent that they're wanting to go out and do this.
It's like, remember who brung you here, vote for us. And that's the way it works,
Yeah. And there are a lot of states now that are like on the cusp of becoming, the dominant, population in those countries will be Hispanic. And traditionally, those voters voted for the Democrat Party. However, we did see in this last election that a lot of them actually turned to President Trump, because it turns out that even people that immigrate here legally through all the proper channels, they're not really for this open borders, because they see it's their jobs that are on the line. They see that their health care costs are going up. They see that their kids aren't even in school right now because of Democratic politicians. So they're wising up to that fact. But it's a big unknowable. It's like going to court or settling out of court. You never know how a jury is going to come back, but if you settle out of court, you know how the outcome will be.
Well, I'll tell you what, talking about their kids not going to school and stuff like that, unless maybe you're a dignitary, they just caught the guy in San Francisco, the teachers union there, putting his child in a private school, but yet saying you can't have school. Boy, I'll tell you, the double system.
Must have been a really smart valedictorian contender.
And I'll tell you something, it surprises me, when Aho Cortez, she actually jumping on Biden, for reopening the cages. They're putting the children in cages again. Yes, those cages that Obama built.
One person's cage is another person's Hilton. So just look at it that way.
Well, Biden, I think, would say one person's cage is another person's castle. Yes. Well, I tell you, just about out of time. Great report as usual. And I want you to go to thekdreport.com, thekdreport.com. You'll see this later posted on there. And then Kimberly will be back next week, I'm sure, right?
All righty.
She's practicing already. Kimberly Dvorak, you spell it D-V-O-R-A-K. I got it. Capital D-V-O-R-A-K. All right. Hey, thank you very much, Kimberly. Look forward to our next visit. Coming up next, the one and only Selwyn Duke. Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here with Tomas at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Let me tell you about my guest, the one and only Selwyn Duke. He's written for The New American and, a whole bunch of others, Hill, Observer, American, Conservative, WorldNet Daily, goes on and on and on and on. But remember The New American, all right? He has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gell Sinage Learning, and appears on many television and a frequent guest on radio shows. His website is selwynduke.com. Here comes Selwyn Duke. Okay. Hey, Selwyn, are you there? Hello, Selwyn. Hello. Hello, testing. 1, 2, 3.
I'm sorry, Chuck. I'm sorry. My mistake. I was waiting for the music initially, and I got totally thrown off.
Yes, I was too, to tell you the truth. Maybe we'll get it at the bottom of the hour, okay? So we're both...
Otherwise, I'm leaving. And you know something? I heard that commercial about that Hawaiian trip, and that sounded so good, Chuck. I think I'm going to have to leave right now, so we've got to make this fast.
All right. Thank you very much, Duke. All right. Well, on a serious subject here, sex change for kids. And we got this is it Levine or Levine? Rachel Levine or Levine? I think it's Levine, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure, actually. Maybe it is. Levine. You say potato, I say potato. It all amounts to the same thing with this strange individual.
Yeah, because this strange individual does change things occasionally, right? Anyway.
Absolutely.
Talking about sex change. Sex change? Or is it child abuse, Selwyn Dukes? Ask, and I'm going along with you. I'm telling you right now, This is President Biden's nominee for just perfect, all right? Somebody that has already changed their sex. Biden's nominee for Secretary of Health at the Department of Health and Human Services. Wow. The perfect person, I guess, right? Very qualified when it comes to health. Boy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Selwyn?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Did it get any worse?
I mean, this individual, Levine or Levine, whatever it is, was born Richard, and now he claims to be a woman. Anyway, this person has been put up, like you said, to be the Assistant Secretary of Health at the Department of Health and Human Services. But the problem is that this individual in the past has actually defended what they would call, quote, gender transition treatments for children. And when we're talking about this, remember, we're talking about sometimes 8-year-olds. I think the youngest in one case here was 4 years old. In Britain, the youngest one I heard about was 3 years old. We're talking about maybe letting them dress as the opposite sex, maybe at some point giving them hormones, puberty delaying or suppressing hormones, things such as that. So we're talking about very, very invasive, destructive treatments here.
Hey, let
anyway,
me go back
so,
a moment. When you say 3-year-old, how in the world does a 3-year-old have, you know, some 3-year-olds just barely are talking. I mean, you know, normally it's 1.5, but, you know, there are occasions where a 3-year-old doesn't quite understand. Is it Ethel or is it unleaded or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely insane. I mean, look, I'm not the first one to make this point, but we don't let children buy cigarettes. We don't let them drive cars, enter into contracts. They can't even obtain an aspirin in school without their parents' permission. Yet now all of a sudden we have these sexual devolutionaries, as I call them on the left, who want to say that very young children should be able to decide to try to be the opposite sex, which of course is impossible. You cannot change your sex any more than you can change your species, but they want to claim that kids somehow are mentally capable of making this decision. It's absolutely preposterous. Well, this Levine, anyway, was at his confirmation hearings, and he was being questioned about this by Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky. And Paul opened up his questioning, pointing out that child genital mutilation is condemned by authorities worldwide. And what was his point? He really didn't make it specifically or explicitly, but basically what he was saying, Chuck, is that if genital mutilation, which is practiced in the Islamic world for different reasons, is wrong when Muslims do it, why is it okay for Westerners to engage in it? And Paul also pointed out that just as in the West, the mutilation in the Islamic world often is not forcibly compelled, but rather it's dictated by what's socially acceptable. And we're seeing the same thing here, of course. This was his point with this whole so-called transgender agenda, where this is accepted now, and kids maybe are manipulated into thinking that they might actually be the opposite sex. They might actually be a person who's stuck in the body of the wrong sex. So anyway, after Paul asked this question, framed this question further, he then asked this Levine character, quote, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex? Well, Levine dodged the question. He wouldn't answer it. He just said, if you want me to read his answer, he said, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with complex and robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I'm fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I will look forward to working with you in your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine. And so as I put it in my article, Chuck, I guess this is the government appointee version of Nancy Pelosi's we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it line. You know, I guess
yeah,
here
you know, and
you've got to
go ahead. Fine.
No,
I was
going to
say,
you've got to.
It's your turn. You're the guest. It's your guest, and I want you to take your turn. Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, you've got to confirm the nominee to find out what's in him, right? And that's all I wanted to say.
All right. And I was going to say, you know, I saw the, you know, the interview that he did, and
yeah,
I'm thinking, you know, are you going to even, you know, go a little over the line, Paul? No, he was absolutely perfect. And she had the She had this answer like, "Well, I'll come to your office. Don't be asking me here where everybody can hear what I'm going to say." You know, that's the way she came across. It wasn't like, "Well, I'm too busy for you now, and I'm too important for you to be taking up my time." Wow. Do you think she had that attitude when it was a he?
Well, yeah. I mean, what's really outrageous here is that Paul then asked a second question. He noted that Levine didn't answer the first one and then asked, quote, "Do you support the government intervening to override the parent's consent to give a child puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and or amputation surgery of breasts and genitalia?" And things like that have actually happened. And broken record style, Levine just offered essentially the same answer. And as I pointed out, I mean, this is just grossly disrespectful, because here you are, you're being asked a legitimate question by a doctor, by the way. Rand Paul is a doctor, as is Levine, and you're not answering it. I mean, you're not going to answer whether or not it's okay to push children towards this very destructive state of being. You know, as Paul pointed out, if you leave children alone who suffer from this so-called gender dysphoria, again, that's the sense that you're one sex stuck in the body of the opposite sex. It really is just a psychological problem, but that's what we're talking about, gender dysphoria. Well, kids who manifest this problem will naturally outgrow it almost all the time. In fact, the figures are that upwards of 90% of boys and 80% of girls will naturally outgrow this problem unless you intervene and you throw a monkey wrench into the works by filling their heads with all sorts of nonsense that they really can be the opposite sex and giving them cross-sex hormones. And these treatments have life-rending effects. These kids are never the same again when they embark upon these treatments. And, you know, in the past, Chuck, I've reported on what they call, quote, sex change regret. For instance, there was this one young man named Nathaniel. They would not provide his last name. And he was convinced that this whole agenda was legitimate. When he turned 18, he had what they call bottom surgery, which is the removal of your genitalia. And it took only months after that for him to regret it. And he came to say that it was like a Frankenstein procedure. He said, quote, "I feel as if I have ruined my whole life." And he's not the only one. I mean, Rand Paul cited a girl who was in the same boat. And it's terrible. The suicide rate among these young people is very, very high for obvious reasons, because they destroy their lives. But, you know, as I also point out, the first part of Levine's answer, Chuck, was a pure and utter lie. When Levine said transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust research, well, no, that's not true. I mean, far from being robust, this research is spun more than a whirling dervish. I mean, there's no good science, and I've reported on this at length. I would challenge any so-called expert to debate me on this anytime, anywhere. There is no good science whatsoever behind the so-called transgender agenda. None. None.
You know what,
they claim.
Yeah. I was going to say real quick, and I know, you know, I quote you from, gosh, 4 or 5 years ago when you start talking about what you can do, you know, to show you the perfect example, which you also have here coming up in just a moment. But let me ask you something. You said that Levine is a doctor. Is it like a doctor, vice president, I mean, like First Lady Jill doctor, or a real doctor?
Now, actually, Levine is a pediatrician, and interestingly, now Rand Paul, he's not a pediatrician, but he's a doctor as well, but no, he is a pediatrician, and also Levine teaches psychology, believe it or not. I mean, you can't make this up. The whole thing is like a parody, but, you know, it's just ridiculous. As I was saying, there's no good science behind the so-called transgender agenda. The sexual devolutionaries want to claim that when these people, these young people, experience this gender dysphoria, that there's a biological basis for it, that it's not just a psychological problem, that there's some genetic cause or there's some hormonal cause having to do with development in the womb. Yet when someone goes into a doctor and he says, doc, I felt like a woman all my life, I just know that deep down I'm female, what does that doctor do? That doctor does not perform any kind of test that could possibly confirm that a biological cause is at issue. Chuck. There is no brain scan. There is no blood chemistry test. There is nothing like that. There's no genetic test. They make the diagnosis of gender dysphoria solely based on feelings, strong and persistent feelings of cross-gender identification that last for more than 6 months. That's the criterion. And then based on those feelings and those feelings alone, they may prescribe for these young people puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and ultimately surgery mutilating their body. And as I've pointed out, would we accept this standard in any other area of medicine, Chuck? Would we say, if a guy goes to a cardiologist and he says, "Doc, I'm just sure that I have heart disease. I have strong and persistent feelings that have lasted for more than 6 months that I do." Would we accept it if that doctor said, "Oh, okay, these feelings are strong. I'll cut open your chest and perform a bypass"?
That's the one I quote from you all the time, Duke. I say, Selwyn Duke, exactly. He can sum it up exactly. If you think you need a sex, you just have that feeling that I'm a girl and not a boy, or vice versa, or whatever, and now it's getting, I think, I'm not a girl or a boy. I think I'm a sheep, right? So anyway, it's, the perfect example. I feel like I need a heart surgery. Yes. Yeah, I just feel it coming on. You know what I feel coming on, Selwyn? A break. Isn't that wonderful timing there? Yes, I know. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Selwyn Duke, the new American. And you can read all of these excellent articles at Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. That's SelwynDuke.com. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
There's a remarkable new autobiographical film by the rising director-writer Lee Isaac Chung that tells the story of a Korean family in the 1980s that tries to plant and sustain a vegetable farm in rural Arkansas. It's called Minari, now available on various streaming services.
What a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. If you're here with us for the first time, please stand. What a beautiful family. Glad you're here.
Yes, they're welcomed in the local church, and by their deeply religious all-American neighbors, including a fervent believer particularly well played by Will Patton. The film is powered by some of the most remarkable performances you'll see this year. Rated PG-13 for intense scenes of family stress, danger, and illness. 4 stars for the gorgeous Minari, whose title refers to an old country vegetable that grows beautifully in rural Arkansas.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, The New American. And we are discussing sex change for kids. Rachel Levine defends it. Ben Carson calls it child abuse. I'll go with Ben. And, you know, you mentioned there are lots and lots of transgender youth clinics in the United States, right?
Right, absolutely, absolutely. According to National Review, there actually are 40-plus of them. I mean, it's amazing. A lot of people wouldn't guess that. So that's very alarming right there.
So there are 10 states, Selwyn, 10 states that haven't gotten on board yet, I guess, right? But then again, there's probably 28 in California.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. You're right about that. And the other 12 might be in New York, where I am, with our pillar of morality of a governor here, if you know
what
I mean.
There was one in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it burned down four times. Yeah, go ahead.
It burned down four times.
Yeah.
Wow, what a crying shame.
You know what, let me before you get into this other thing, because there's some more questions that Rand Paul had questioned. But I saw a thing, I don't know where I saw it, rather email or Facebook or something like that, and it was talking about this lady that was getting onto this guy at a service station. And you might have seen this. He was filling his car up, you know, with gasoline, right? And she came over to him and she says, "Why do you want to destroy the earth?" He said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Don't you believe in global warming and things like that?" And he said, "Well, you know." And she says, "You should be using the green hose. The green nozzle." That's, and she was serious. And he said she had a Volkswagen, and he said, "Lady, you know, you go ahead and put it in your car, but I'm going to tell you, you may be ruining your engine." But then I got to thinking, you know, that's the way some of these kids are, young adults, and maybe older adults also. The green hose, you know, the diesel, for those of you who didn't get this, the diesel hose. But there's probably people thinking, that's for global warming. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, your vehicle just has
sort
to
of,
identify as a diesel vehicle, right? Just has to identify as a diesel vehicle.
That is it. That's what made me think of that. You know, if you want to identify, you know, the diesel as global warming, go ahead. If you want to say, "I've sure got a deep voice, but gosh, I love dresses," go ahead, you know.
Well,
not
Chuck,
that I do.
Never,
I just want to set that straight.
You could never pull that off, Chuck. You could never pull that off. I just want to let you know that you've got that deep, resonant voice. You're just way too manly. Don't even go down that road.
Hang on. Let me ask my assistant here. What do you think?
No, I think he's wonderful.
How was that better? Go ahead.
Actually, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could get that high.
Oh, I can do Donald Duck. You know, it's amazing, yes, but that's another story.
I can make Donald Duck. I just have to throw something at him.
Yeah. You know, we got 2 minutes before the break here, and this is such a serious thing. But, you know, to some people it's a laughing matter, kind of, you know, like, what do you mean you really think you're not, you know, what God created you? And then if you don't believe in God, what do you think whoever created you gave you those parts or that part? You know what I'm saying? But it's encouragement that's going on right now. So wouldn't that be one of the worst problems, is that it is encouraged so much? When you have the President of the United States, you know, saying this is the person for my cabinet, then that means, hey, the highest up guy in the United States approves it, so it must be real.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, We have now seen spates of young people identifying as, quote, transgender. I think I even heard a story about how at one school, one-third of the kids were thus identifying. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it just has become a fad among many of them. But others actually do have real problems, such as what they call gender dysphoria. And you're not helping them by pushing them down this very destructive road. As Dr. Paul McHugh has put it, he used to be a psychiatrist at Johns Hopkins. He said, we should be trying to change their minds, not their bodies, because the mind is where this problem originates. And changing their bodies using a biological fix for a psychological problem is not going to be effective. And really, as I said before, when you do go down that road, it doesn't change the fact that these poor souls will still have a very, very high suicide rate.
Yeah, it's well, there's still more to go on this one. Sex change for kids. Rachel Levine defends it as sex change, and Ben Carson calls it child abuse. And we're going to get to the rest of this story. And then we got another one about kids. Are they better off going feral than going to schools? Well, we'll look into that one too. Selwyn Duke. And you can read all of his excellent articles at selwynduke.com, SELWYNDUKE.com. Be right back.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Restaurante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails, like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Restaurante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. Strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, the new American. You know, it's interesting that, you know, how the mainstream media went crazy. You talk about, you know, going on attack against these, the senator and these outrageous questions that you would ask somebody. You know, it's just like their little alarm goes off, and it doesn't take much for it to go off, right, for the mainstream media. Could you imagine if we were ever attacked by some nation or aliens? They wouldn't know how to handle it, I don't think, you know?
No. They certainly are not the kind of people who can keep their heads while all about them are losing theirs and blaming it on them, as Rudyard Kipling said in his poem If. But anyway, no, I mean, this was incredible. Of course, you can't, Chuck, defend the indefensible. So what the mainstream media did, since it could not really defend Levine's position, Levine, again, was defending having children go through so-called gender reassignment treatments. Well, anyway, what they did was they attacked Rand Paul, and they basically accused him of transphobia. And there were many headlines.
Yeah,
many headlines to that effect. But here really is the winner. This Monica Hess of The Washington Post wrote in a Friday piece. The piece was titled, Rand Paul's ignorant questioning of Rachel Levine showed why we need her in government. This person wrote, Senator Rand Paul was interested in talking about children's genitals, and she wrote that because she was saying this writer, oh, well, you know, Levine came to the confirmation hearing prepared to politely discuss matters such as the COVID pandemic, the opioid epidemic, behavioral health, and racial disparities in medical treatment. But no, not this, not this mutilation being visited upon children. So, again, she said Senator Rand Paul seemed more interested in talking about children's genitals. Well, you know, as I point out here, Chuck, and it's very important to understand this when you try to fight the culture war, what we're seeing here is a ploy. What the mainstream media are saying, what they're doing is they're accusing Rand Paul of treating Levine differently because Levine is, quote, transgender. But actually, no, he's not treating Levine differently because this question would be legitimate to ask of any nominee for this health post. I mean, remember, we're talking about a serious and increasingly common form of pediatric medical malpractice. That's what we're talking about. So Rand Paul would ask that of any nominee who had taken Levine's position. So listen to this. By implying that Levine should receive a special dispensation from that question, Chuck, it's the mainstream media that are treating Levine differently.
Mm-hmm.
You see what they did there? They do this all the time.
And
as I point out,
if you're going to ask her a medical question, well, then surgery, it seems to me, comes under the label of medical.
As far as I know, yeah, absolutely, though there's no good medicine behind this transgender agenda. But
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Anyway, as I point out in my article, this prejudice of treating Levine and people like Levine differently is attributable, or is the reason why this person was nominated in the first place. Because Levine also has in his past an Andrew Cuomo-like nursing home scandal. That's not pointed out all the time, certainly not by the mainstream media. So some people would say that this person shouldn't be considered, Chuck, for a higher government post, but for negligent manslaughter charges.
All right. And was she the one that took her mother out because she was worried about her or something?
That's correct. That's correct. I mean, as the icing on the cake to top it all off. So, you know, the truth is that this individual was only chosen because of so-called transgender status in the first place. It was affirmative action on steroids. That's what it was. So, again, it's another example of the left treating such people differently. Because if you applied merit here, there's no way that you would ever say that Levine should be considered for any post such as this. And not only that, here's something else to understand when you fight these culture war battles, Chuck. In mocking Paul's concern about children's genitals, this writer, Hess, was using a very common leftist tactic, although I think she was doing so instinctively. It's called flipping the script, and here's how it works. You see, the left will launch a whole new destructive movement trying to overturn some long-standing status quo. And then when conservatives simply try to defend that status quo, leftists will accuse them of being obsessed with the liberals' new obsession. Okay? So, in other words, what's happening here, to be specific, is that leftists sexualize everything, including children. They try to normalize this bizarre notion, Chuck, that minors can embark upon a so-called transgender transition. And then what happens? When conservatives simply complain and push back a little bit, they're condemned as having some bizarre, salacious sexual fixation. I mean, as I put it in my article, it's sort of like raining down punches continually on some hapless soul minding his own business. And then when he finally raises his arms to block, saying, "Why are you so violent? What's the matter with you?"
Go ahead.
Just another reason not to play defense, but to remember that the best defense is a good offense. And to wit, okay, to this end, remember what Dr. Ben Carson said here. He was asked about this whole transgender agenda in a very recent interview on Friday's edition of SiriusXM's Breitbart News Daily. That's with host Alex Marlow. And he said about this transgender agenda, he said these people, quote, have completely neglected biology. And he called their pediatric prescriptions child abuse. Okay, and he also said, though, to the point here, that here's the prescription you have to follow if you're a conservative who is afraid of speaking out because you're worried about cancel culture. He said, quote, "Well, you know, it's in our national anthem, and the last line of the first stanza, it says, 'The land of the free and the home of the brave.' Well," he said, "you cannot be the land of the free if you're not the home of the brave. You've got to be willing to stand up." And that's absolutely true. And as I said in my article, and you know what? If you can't stand up for children, Dr. Levine, step off. Right. Because abusing yourself was bad enough. Leave the kids alone. And I will just close with this. I will quote a man who has been labeled a transsexual. He's from Australia, this fellow Alan Finch. He went down that road. He had the surgery. He came to regret it. And here's what he said many, many years ago. He said, "You fundamentally cannot change your sex. Transsexualism was invented by psychiatrists." That's what he said.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's whenever you say psychiatrist, some people would say you got to be crazy, you know, if you want to change your sex organs. And could you imagine that if people just said, you know, I no longer feel like I have to drive on the right-hand side of the road, you know? And the thing is that probably, and in my opinion, the greatest invention, you know, invented probably in the last 1,000 years has got to be DNA. I mean, comes pretty close to it, you know. And no matter what you do, your DNA is never going to change your sex identity. And that should tell you something right there. But, you know, people will be knocking me and they'll be knocking you. And what's wrong with you people? You know, my goodness. But have you noticed that it's all whatever is normal, you got to get rid of it, you know? And it's, and I was thinking that, my goodness, why in the world are the children and the people going crazy? And I'm thinking, gosh, you know, where did they learn all this? And then you say, well, they learned it in school. Well, what about the people that are teaching? You know, they don't do this stuff. Well, see, they learned it in college. And, the indoctrination goes all the way back. It's like a domino, you know, when you stack up the little dominoes and you push them over. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Hey, we got Chuck, go ahead.
Here's the thing. I'm aiming high, though. I'm going to identify as Chuck Wilder and do your show for the rest of the week, if that's how it works nowadays.
Hey, I may have a week that I'll just let you do it coming up here, you know. Yeah. Oh, yes. All right. Hey, I'll leave it up to you. I think we're going to probably get into one more here. But you've got, are kids better off than going to school that teach depravity and anti-Americanism and racism? And you also, and in case we don't get, whichever one we don't get to, listener, you can find them at selwynduke.com. There's Biden's COVID relief. However, are you ready? No white men need apply. I think that's pretty good because there's a lot of people talking about Coca-Cola. Me, myself, my favorite is, believe it or not, Selwyn, it's Dr. Pepper with peanuts, salted peanuts in it. What do you think of that? I learned that.
Really?
Yeah.
If you were identifying differently, Chuck, I'd ask you if you were pregnant, but no, nothing wrong with that.
I've lost enough weight. I'm okay now. One time I thought I was. But anyway,
no, I meant with the cravings, with the unusual cravings.
Yeah. But this Coca-Cola, I see people, you know, especially on Facebook, well, I almost drank a Coke today, and thank God I remembered. I'm a white man. I'm not going to drink that Coke. Did Coca-Cola really mess up that bad, or was it somebody that decided to come up with what they did mess up that bad? I think that's basically the main thing. They tried to be, politically correct, and it backfired on them?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, my guess is this. I mean, you're talking about a very big corporation, and that's tantamount to a big government. Often the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. Now, I'm not absolving Coca-Cola's leadership from responsibility here, but I think what happened was they just long ago instituted these, quote, diversity programs, and then they give that over to these people who run them, and maybe they hire other people, and then those people sometimes implement teachings that the higher-ups in the corporation might not have okayed if they'd known about them ahead of time. And so it happened in this case, and I'm sure most of your listeners have heard about it, but they actually gave this instruction to employees, and it was, try to be less white. That was the instruction. Try to be less white, if you can imagine that. And of course, this was leaked, I think a video of it or information proving it, to the media on Twitter, wherever, and it caused just a tremendous uproar. And honestly, it was completely justifiable. I mean, these corporations should take it on the chin when they do things like this, because unless there are some consequences, this is not going to end. You know, there has got to be a serious consequence for being a pedal to the metal wokester. And you're seeing that more and more with these big corporations. They're not acting in the best interests of our culture. They're acting as counterculture revolutionaries. That's what they're doing, Chuck.
Yeah, it just doesn't, to me, I just never, ever thought of Coca-Cola being, you know, racist or against anything. But let me see. It says Section 105. No, 105 of the bill offers socially disadvantaged farm owners total debt forgiveness of up to hundreds of thousands of no-string dollars per farmer, but white men needn't apply. Now, see, and I'm not getting any connection there on Coca-Cola. You know, is it an example?
Yeah. That's just me. I was using an example. No, what I said was, Coca-Cola's instruction to the employees to try to be less white offended everyone, but it might turn out to be good advice in light of Joe Biden's new bill, because under Joe Biden's new bill, and we're calling it his new bill, of course, it was passed by the Congress. I mean, the reality is that...
I got it now there. I'm going to let you get to that phone. I see what it is now. It ties in with the COVID-19, and it's, is any indication, it's chock full of blatant anti-white discrimination. But it hurts many women, too, for and a reason that most wouldn't guess. Why is this affecting women that much, see? So now I get it. You know, the equal treatment under the law. Yeah.
Right. No, absolutely. So anyway, there are a lot of anti-white provisions in this bill. You know, it's a debt relief bill, but actually it prioritizes people who are non-white and supposedly women as well. And I say supposedly, and I'll just quote here Betsy McCoy of the New York Post, which is a paper that actually does a lot of good work. And she wrote, quote, Section 1005 of the bill offers socially disadvantaged farm owners total debt forgiveness of up to hundreds of thousands of no-strings dollars per farmer, but white men needn't apply. The bill's definition of socially disadvantaged, drawn from elsewhere in federal law, limits aid to racial groups who faced historic discrimination. Newly elected Senator Raphael Warnock, he's from Georgia, who proposed the measure, says it will make up for years of discrimination. But, says McCoy, sorry, Senator, this is discrimination. Yeah. And she continues, discrimination likewise mars the bill's aid to restaurants. It grants restaurant owners up to $5 million per facility to offset losses caused by lockdowns. That's a lifeline for restaurants barely hanging on, she writes. But here's the hitch. Only women, veterans, and owners of socially and economically disadvantaged concerns, again defined racially elsewhere in federal law, right, may apply during the program's first 3 weeks. Most white males go to the back of the line, even if their needs are more pressing. And then she mentions also New York's dairy farmers, how they're facing bankruptcy because the restaurants that accounted for half the demand for their products aren't buying anymore. That's what she writes. Quote, yet the farm aid in the relief bill won't reach many of these farmers. Most are white men, unquote. Okay, so that's really what's going on here. And, you know, it's just part and parcel of this anti-white spirit that we've seen burgeoning in this society more and more. And
you know,
Democrats,
and
I would say—
interesting thing on, you know, on the, you know, economically disadvantaged and, you know, and you look at Black Lives Matter. They just reported last week or a while back, $90 million is what they took in during the riots in 2020. $90 million. And it went strictly to the organization. It doesn't go to fixing any of the rioting problems or any of the towns that were destroyed. Just thank you very much for the donation, and yippee-yay. All right, Selwyn Duke's going to be back. We're going to wrap things up, and we'll continue with the rest of this one. Biden's COVID relief is the no white men need apply. Sounds like we're on a reservation. Yes. SelwynDuke.com. SelwynDuke.com. And we shall return.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
you order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, the new American. And under this article that Selwyn posted, Biden's COVID relief is the no white men need to apply. He said the big kicker here is that many of New York dairy farmers, they're facing bankruptcy, but the minority-owned farms are in less debt. But they'll be the ones that get the money. Is there something? Is this the Common Core math or what?
Yeah, I guess so, Chuck. I guess so. It really is something. And, you know, there's so much we could say about this, but I want to point out something that really no one else does here because it's very important to understand. When you hear about programs such as this that also prioritize women over men, okay, which, of course, feminist-oriented programs do all the time, you have to remember when the leftists claim that these programs benefit women, that's not true. They benefit a subset of women. Now, here's why I say that. These white male business owners are hardworking people who generally have families. They have wives. They have sons. They also have daughters. And when you hurt their ability to make a living, when you damage them, when you in many cases contribute to their going out of business, you don't just hurt them, you hurt their wives and daughters as well. So what these programs really do is they don't help women overall. They help single women who are generally more liberal, and they tend to hurt married women, in particular the stay-at-home moms, who then, Chuck, when their husband's income is lessened, are often forced out into the workplace. So you might say that, in a way, this is a war on the traditional family. Couldn't you say that?
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's something that's really never pointed out, but it really should be. That point should be driven home. And the thing is, though, I don't know if this would cut any ice with the left, because they really don't mind hurting married women and married men, for that matter. And what's one reason for that? One reason has to do, again, with what liberals, leftists really worship: power. They're always looking to transfer money to their constituencies and away from the people who don't support them. And white men, more than any other group, vote Republican, do not vote Democrat. And married women are more likely to vote conservative as well. Single women break Democrat by very wide margins. And also, when you talk about non-white individuals in this country, they also break Democrat by very wide margins. And this bill here, this Biden COVID relief bill, also transfers a lot of money to them. So again, this is all about power to a great degree. Taxing the people who don't vote for Democrats, stealing money from them, and redistributing it to people who do vote for Democrats.
Well, you know, a wise man by the name of Selwyn Duke said, or wrote, in reality, devising today's policy based on past discrimination is like treating a sick man with a remedy suited to a disease a different person died of 100 years ago. It cures nothing in the past or the present. Man, I would almost see the Ben Franklin, you know, a quote there. You're doing good, Selwyn, as usual.
Did I say that? Did I write that? I can't believe
you did, yes, and you didn't say anybody from any other TV, radio, or chisel and stone. It was Selwyn Duke, yes, sir. Hit it on the head again. Hey, thank you very much, Selwyn. I certainly appreciate, today.
Thanks.
And look forward to our next visit. All right?
Same. God bless.
God bless you. Selwyn Duke, the new American. SelwynDuke.com. Thank you for listening.